Mark and the student life staff asked if I might share my testimony, just that you might get to know me a little more than as a talking head or some guy who everybody says is unapproachable, but who's really not. I probably know myself better than anybody, and I approach myself really well, and would encourage you to approach me. I'd love to get to know you and to hear what makes you tick, what the Lord is doing in your life. So feel free to stop up and see me, talk with me on campus when I'm around. I was raised on the East Coast, was raised in Silver Spring, Maryland, right outside of Washington, D.C. Grew up in a very moral home, had a wonderful dad and mom, went to a United Methodist Church, was on the front row every Sunday, was exposed to the Word of God, but no one ever really told me that the Bible was true from beginning to end, that it was sufficient for all of my spiritual needs. And particularly, nobody ever approached me with the idea that I might be a sinner in need of God's grace. Through high school, I was a student athlete, played football, was a member of the Honor Society, was actively engaged in a number of activities in the school, and at the end of time in high school, was awarded an ROTC scholarship to go to Ohio State University. Most of that story I told 3 weeks ago is true. Just there's about 5% of it that's not true, and it probably centers around Bible 101 being a part of the curriculum at Ohio State, which probably has never been and never will be. There I developed a great love for the military. I loved everything about it. I loved its discipline. I loved its patriotism. Everything about it became me, and in the midst of studying at Ohio State with a major in industrial management, I majored in business, I met a lovely young lady who was the sister of one of my roommates at an Ohio State football game, and we started to date, and then we got engaged and disengaged and engaged and disengaged and engaged, and finally, as I was graduating back in the dark ages in June of 1966, well, that's a long, long time ago, I not only was commissioned as an ensign in the United States Navy, along with my colleagues who had graduated from the United States Naval Academy, but was also married and immediately was on duty. I served on a destroyer for 2 years in anti-submarine warfare, primarily in the Mediterranean, chasing Russian submarines in the Cold War. We spent 2 years doing that, and then the Navy sent me off for 4 months to train as a pilot of an air cushion vehicle, a hovercraft, and then off to the inevitable a year of duty in the combat zone in Vietnam, and served about 15 miles south of the North Vietnamese border, working with the 101st Airborne, the 1st Air Cav, 2nd Marine Division, and every other part of the military that I joined the Navy to stay away from. Very, very interesting time. While I was there, and at the end of the experiment the Navy had with the hovercraft, I was transferred from the northern part of South Vietnam down to the south to Saigon, where I was on the staff of Vice Admiral Zumwalt, who later became the Chief of Naval Operations. And it was there that my wife, who still is my wife, wrote me a letter and said she wanted a divorce. She basically didn't like me. She didn't like the Navy. For 42 months that I'd been in the Navy, I'd been gone for 36 months, which doesn't make for good relationships in any kind of a marriage. I loved the Navy at that point. Admiral Zumwalt had asked me to stay on for another 6 months and be his aide, which for a career would have been very, very tremendous. But there was something in me that knew I loved my wife, even though I didn't really understand what Christian love was because I was an unbeliever, that caused me to come back to the United States to take shore duty, and the Lord moved us to San Diego, where I taught anti-submarine warfare. The apartment we moved into was managed by Christians, and it didn't take them too long to discover that B and I were not Christians. There was utterly nothing Christian about us, other than we probably would have said we were raised in a Christian home. And we discovered that we did a whole lot better in our marriage when I was away than we did when I was at home, because it took a major nosedive being able to come home every night and being able to fight every day. 6 months after I'd gotten back from Vietnam, and I'd asked me to go to California with me for 6 months, and if things had not changed, we would call it quits, get a divorce. I got home on the 6th of October, 1969, and on the 6th of April, which was 6 months to the day, I found myself on a Monday night in a Baptist church listening to a gospel message. B was ready to go ahead and file divorce papers. Do you all know Kenny Poor? He's probably been here in chapel, has been at Hume Lake for you in California for years and years and years, was speaking that night. And his gospel message was crystal clear, and it had 5 points to it. And number one was, the Bible is true from beginning to end. I bought that. Secondly, that Jesus Christ is God, and I believed that. That was not a problem for me. His third point caught me up short, and it was that I was a sinner, utterly undeserving to stand in the presence of a holy God, not only for a moment, but for all eternity. It was at that point that the light went on in the midst of the darkness of my life and my mind, that I really was a sinner who was in need of redemption and who had utterly no hope in this life or the next apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. So on that 10 rows back on the right-hand side from the pulpit at Scott Memorial Baptist Church in San Diego, the speaker had my attention, and I was screaming out within my heart, tell me how I can solve my dilemma. And his answer was, point four, that Jesus died on the cross. He took the wrath of God, and I accepted that. And my ultimate question and plea was, how can I appropriate it? How much money is it going to cost me? How many weeks in a row do I have to go to church? What Sunday school class do I join for this deal? I desperately need my sins forgiven. And you know his fifth point. It was, you can't earn it, you can't buy it, but you can embrace it by faith and faith alone and appropriate all of the grace of God and know the mercy of God and have your sins forgiven. At the end of the service, that was the greatest need in my heart, and with a bowed head and in words that I'm sure were quite infantile and non-theological, I invited Christ into my life as Lord and Savior. At the end of the service, they had a little bit of an invitation, and it was not come forward to be saved, but if you had invited Christ into your life, they had some literature and wanted to talk with you, and I, the least likely guy in the world to make a spectacle of myself in front of all these people in the church, found myself compelled to walk out of my seat and down to the front, only to discover when I looked back over my shoulders, here came my wife. Unbeknownst to both of us, we both got saved that night. Sitting next to each other, we both realized the wretchedness of our sin and began to experience the love of God, which neither one of us had before and neither one of us had expressed to each other in almost 4 years of marriage. We went home that night and we knew two things. Number one, that because the Bible was true, and because God would fulfill his promises, the gift of eternal life had been granted to us, utterly undeserved. And secondly, that whatever the problems were in our marriage, divorce was not the solution. And we very quickly became convinced that if God ordained marriage, if he created male and female, if he designed the role of husband and wife, that if we could just find out where it talked about that in the Bible and begin to practice it, that our problems would begin to diminish. And in fact, that's exactly what happened. Wasn't the greatest of love instantly that night or the next week or the next month, but it was fairly dramatic, and it wasn't too long after that that I believe the Lord was calling me out of a career in the military, which I loved, had done exceptionally well in, to go to seminary to study for the ministry. And so I moved from the military to the ministry in August of 1971 and moved our little family all the way back to Indiana to Grace Theological Seminary, where I studied from 1971 to 1981 with several things intervening, but earned all of your standard theological degrees, finishing with a doctor of theology and a major in systematic theology. In the middle of that, I was an associate pastor from 1975 to 1977 in Worthington, Ohio, back to Columbus, back to watch Ohio State football for 3 years during the Archie Griffin era, which was a great era at Ohio State. And in 1980, I met John MacArthur, and we became instant friends. And so in 1980, we moved our little family back out to California from Indiana to Grace Community Church, and I was with John from 80 to 84. And then from 1984 to 1989, I was the senior pastor of the Grace Brethren Church in Long Beach, a church of about 1,500 people, with had a graduate school of theology when I arrived there, a Bible Institute, an entire Christian day school, all of which sort of fell on my shoulders of ultimate responsibility, and had a wonderful 5 years of preaching and leading and loving and shepherding people. And in 1989, John and I had lunch, and I told him my heart really beat to train the next generation of preachers and teachers and missionaries, and that really was what God had put there. And so he told me he never asked me to leave the church, but if I was going to leave the church to do something like that, I needed to come home, I needed to come back to be with him, to be at Grace, and to be at the Master Seminary. And we did that in 1989 with no other desire and no other aspiration in life but to come back and teach pastoral ministries at the Master's Seminary for the rest of my life. And the truth is, in my 12 years of being a part of the Master's College and Seminary, I've only gotten to do that 1 year. It was the 89-90 school year. Our dean of the seminary, Dr. Charles Smith, who had been my mentor in my doctoral program, died that year of cancer. And John asked me if I would come and lead the seminary then, which I've done up until now and will, Lord willing, continue to do with additional responsibilities here at the college. It's been a rich and a full life, but I can honestly say if it had not been for that moment on April the 6th, 1970, when I saw the awfulness of my sin and the beauty of God's holiness, none of what has unfolded in my life would have been there. And so I'm today and every day thankful to Jesus Christ for his mercy in my life and for saving me, and can say with a sailor of several centuries ago, John Newton, God's grace is absolutely amazing, and for that I thank the Lord. That's just a little bit of me. I've got two grown children. One's a graduate of the Master's College. Wade graduated from with a major in business here and now works for Kaufman and Broad, the largest builder of homes in America. He works in the president's office. And our daughter Lee was a student here and I think is within 10 hours of graduation, but fell in love, got married, and with all good intention of coming back to finish the 10 hours, instead decided to have our grandson Ian, who's now 9 years old and the delight of my life. They live here in Valencia. I did bring the woman who found me intriguing in her college days and didn't know whether to marry me or not to marry me, and then decided she wanted to abandon me at one point in our life, all for which I'm sure were good reasons, but to whom we've been married now for 34 years. It'll be 35 years this coming June the 18th, and I asked B to come along just so you could meet her. She's a dear, dear lady, very, very people-oriented, and I know you'll enjoy getting to know her. Honey, would you stand so they could see you? She is a lovely lady. She's my dear, dear B. Well, I would not have chosen to do that, but the student life folks thought it would be good to humanize someone who generally is dehumanized on almost all college campuses, the administration, whoever they are. I never wanted to be a part of the administration, and still don't, as far as I'm concerned. I'm a faculty member. I love to teach the Word of God. I love to see people grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Love to see people have a rich testimony for the Savior and to serve Him, whether it's in business, whether it's in education, whether it's in music, whatever your life vocation would be, that you would always be an honor and a glory to the Lord Jesus Christ.